This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to Suffolk Matters, where all of Suffolk County meets the men and women of Suffolk AME. News, opinions, and insights you won't hear anywhere else. Here's your host, the president of New York's largest independent union, Suffolk AME's Dan Levler.
Welcome to another edition of Suffolk Matters on Walk 97.5 and 94.3 The Shark, where Suffolk County meets the men and women of Suffolk AME. News and views you can't hear anywhere else.
So my guest this morning is Grant Dorney. He's a wastewater treatment plant operator out of DPW Sanitation Blue, and he's the vice president of DPW Sani Blue Unit. Grant, thank you for joining me this morning.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
So let's start, I guess, with some background. You know, maybe not a lot of people understand what a wastewater treatment plant operator is and does and why that's so important. I mean, Suffolk County has a number of facilities, but Bergen Point specifically has 30.5 million gallons of wastewater processed a day. Treatment plant operators are integral in that. But let's go into it from your perspective.
It's very important. You know, obviously water is one of the major things we live around and we use every day. Very important. And the water treatment is one of the most important things we need to be on top of in order to keep it going so, you know, we have clean water and then our future generations continue to have clean water.
Sure, yeah. I mean, it's very important. And listen, you know, again, I'm mentioning Bergen Point. That's a system that stretches up into Huntington all the way down into Amityville and as far out as Islip. There are massive lines that tie together. I think it's 100 and some odd inches coming into the diameter of the pipe coming into the treatment plant at Bergen Point. It's 105, if I'm remembering correctly, the influent pipe. And that stuff is flowing all day long everywhere, which some folks don't realize. If you don't have a working sewer line and you're in the sewer district, then you can't have water coming into your facility, right? That's businesses, homes, sure, whatever. And then that means you don't have fire suppression, which means you don't have a certificate of occupancy.
Sure.
So it's very important that these plants operate not just for public health, but for the ability to, you know, day-to-day life requires that all these things are going on. So let's jump into, like, you know, where are you from? Where do you originate and how'd you end up here?
Sure. So I'm originally from Youngstown, Ohio. Grew up there and small town, you know, our small town one stoplight, but it was a small yellow one that
right.
flashed, you know,
yeah.
So it's definitely a small town. Spent some time there. I worked for CSX Railroad over there and I was a member of UTU,
right.
United Transportation Union.
Very large union. Yeah.
I was involved in there a little bit. And then I have some family that lived out here. They said, you know, there's opportunity out here if you come. And the first thing when I came out was I wanted to look into civil service.
Right.
And looking into civil service, I knew that there was awesome jobs, taking tests, and there was great ways to be a part of the community.
Yeah.
I took the test for wastewater treatment plant operator and got it and then continued with my license. You know, from there, I start to learn how important it actually is to the environment and everything around
right.
us.
Yeah.
You know?
No, it is crucial. You know, we're a sole source aquifer here on the island. We want to make sure that the water that's coming out of that aquifer is good to go. We want to make sure that the discharge out of treatment plants is good to go, low nitrate levels, make sure that everything is, you know, safe and environmentally sound. You touched on something that I like to talk about a lot, you know. When people think of people in government jobs, TV shows and movies tend to depict them a certain way. But in reality, in my personal experience, they're altruistic by nature. They're people that are looking to be part of the bigger community.
Sure.
They want to give back to the world around them. And so you could have looked for all sorts of opportunities.
Sure.
But you're the type of person that specifically looked to help friends, family, neighbors.
Sure. Sure. And also, I found it interesting, you know, it's not just the going to work, you know, it gives you a little bit of purpose, you know, you
right.
get to do some lab work and then, again, you're putting it back into your environment. So it was very interesting for me to get into.
Yeah, yeah. And again, you know, there are countless roles across the county where people are thinking the same way and acting the same way, and it's more than just where you work. It's, you know, your identity is wrapped up into what this job is. And, you know, so speaking of identity and you're giving back, you know, you're also involved as a vice president in the DPW Sanitation Blue Unit. That means you're there for your fellow workers to hear what's going on with them, what needs to be, you know, addressed and what, sure, you know, what kind of fixes need to happen. So what do you think is something that's like top of mind for folks that are working in DPW in the blue division of sanitation?
I think we are very tight-knit, at least in my department.
Sure.
You know, we communicate a lot, and we try to stick together because it's important to have good relationships with, you know, your coworkers, but you also have to work hard and know the ins and outs of it in order to get the job done the right way,
right,
you know. So I think it's very important that you can not only just go to work and be colleagues, but you kind of build a little family type deal, yeah, or brotherhood.
Yeah. And there needs to be that trust. I mean, you're in dangerous situations and around things that are toxic to humans. And you need to know that the people that you're working with have your back, and
sure,
they need to know that you have their back.
Sure.
So let's get into staffing a little bit. And this is something I know a bunch about, but I want to get your perspective on, because we see across Suffolk County, staffing levels aren't where they need to be. We see, you know, a budget this year that was passed that has funding for additional positions, but those positions need to be filled. And the reason why I keep bringing this up, you know, I mean, anybody that's, you know, living in Suffolk County, working in Suffolk County, buys vacations here, whatever, you know, some of their tax dollars goes to all of making Suffolk County run. And when there aren't enough people to do the job, you know, you're paying more for work that you're not getting, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, but let's just talk about staffing in general. Are you feeling like there's any notable shortages in your area?
Well, shortages, yes. You know, we could use more people and more people to actually stay. It seems like it is kind of hard sometimes, you know, getting started. You know, the salary is kind of low when you first start.
Absolutely.
It's very low, and it's a struggle. You know, eventually, and then as you start to get on, it gets a little bit better, but it's a struggle to start off, and especially someone, you know, that's, you know, in the middle of their age or something, that has family, that has, you know, people that rely on them. It's hard to start off on a small salary. So I think that's a struggle as far as people wanting to take the jobs and then staying with those jobs.
Yeah.
You know.
And Suffolk County has been known for a while now as a training ground, right? Other jurisdictions recruit people out of Suffolk County because they know that their starting salary is better.
Sure.
And they can pull somebody who's struggling. They want to be part of Suffolk County. They want to do good for the people of Suffolk County, but they need to take care of their family. They need a roof over their head.
Sure.
The ability to put gas in their car. And so, you know, one of the things that we look at with vacancies is, you know, when staffing is low, they try and make up for that in overtime, which maybe for an individual who's trying to make a couple extra bucks seems like a good idea until it becomes the only way to get,
sure,
the job done.
Sure. I myself and many of my colleagues work all weekends, second jobs. I have a second job,
yep,
you know, just to try to survive, you know. It can be a struggle.
Yeah, and that's a lot to ask, and it's something, you know, we've had conversations with the administration to say, hey, listen, you know, you're the government in Suffolk County. The people that work for you should be able to afford to live in the communities they support.
Sure.
We're not asking for, and I don't think public servants in general ask for, lavish lifestyles.
No.
They want to keep the lights on. They want to feed their kids. They want to be able to put gas in their car. And you want to do a job. You don't want to have to work all this overtime and pick up a second job just to get by. And so, you know, something very important to us, and something that was, you know, discussed very early on with the administration that's in now. We had these conversations with the previous administration, but they didn't have what we'll call the political will to get it done.
Mm.
And this administration does. Just a short time ago, they announced, even on their, their public-facing, you know, social media, you know, that they're going ahead and they're going to do a comprehensive study to see what it is. We know that, like, you know, we talk about something like a clerical job, schools and towns and villages are hiring $15,000, $20,000, $25,000 more to start. And that's for a job that comes with benefits. That's a job that has pension. That's a job with union protections. All the things that we have here, they have also. I've brought this story up before. I'll say it again. But, there was over 1,300 people who spent money to take a civil service test. They took the test. They passed the test. They're on a list. They get a letter saying, we want to hire you. 1,300 people on their own time, with their own dime, take and pass a test to respond. Two human beings out of 1,300 respond, zero show up for work. It's a problem. And the county knows it's a problem as much as we know it's a problem. And that's why we've secured that commitment and working together with this county to find out what these salaries really should be. Because you want two things you really want. As somebody that's just a taxpayer and you don't really want to think about what government's doing, everything should just work like a utility. It should just be in the background and working. What you want to know is that you're recruiting and retaining quality employees. You want people that are going to want the job, that are going to have your view of the world, where, like, you know, I want the job that gives back to my community. That's what you want in a public servant. And you want someone that's going to want to stay. You don't want to train somebody new every year. So, I mean, let's go into morale a little bit. You know, I mean, how do you feel the folks around you? You know, I mean, I'm aware of all the overtime stuff, and I'm aware of, like, the second job and whatever else. I mean, how does morale feel around?
Well, in dealing with that, it begins to be a little, it's tough, you know. It's struck. You're spending sometimes more time at work and working than you are actually at home, you know, and it begins. So morale does seem to, you know, decline when in those situations after, you know, weeks of 20, 30, 40 days of working straight, you know, it adds up, and not only takes a toll on your body, but, you know, mental, you know, it definitely takes a toll.
And your relationships.
Yeah. Your kids, your wife, you know, other family members, it definitely takes its toll.
Yeah. And so, you know, I mean, we say, you know, a worker shortage doesn't mean a shortage of work, right? So just because there aren't enough people doesn't mean there isn't enough work to be done. And then, you know, day in, day out, you know, that stress and pressure, that, you know, the challenges you face financially, the challenges you face in your interpersonal relationships, and they start to add up, and you start seeing people, you know, get to the point where it's like, you know, what are we going to do? We've got to solve this problem. And if someone's not going to come along and help us solve this problem, we're going to solve it ourselves. Then you see sometimes people calling out. You see sometimes people turning to, you know, substance. You know, like, there's all of these things that naturally happen to human beings when they're in stressed environments.
Sure.
And there is a solve, and I believe there is a solve. And working with this administration, we intend to get that solve in place, which is to go through and do a comprehensive analysis on what's fair. We're not trying to, again, raise wages so high that, you know, now people are transferring from other states to come work for Suffolk County. But Suffolk County should be competitive in its own jurisdiction.
Absolutely.
To be losing out to other municipalities inside of Suffolk County, and to lose them to neighboring jurisdictions because they're just not competitive, you know, it doesn't work. So, I mean, you know, I guess in that light, you know, do you have any sense of, like, how Suffolk County, at least in the wastewater world, do you have any idea of how Suffolk County looks competitively with other government agencies and surrounding jurisdictions?
Me personally, I know a lot of, I mean, me personally, of what I've seen is, you know, like you said before, some people do go from Suffolk County because Nassau might have better wages and better, you know, better lifestyle, that they don't have to do that second job and they don't have to do all that overtime, you know.
Right.
I mean, even though it might be a further commute or something, they're willing to do that and, you know, take it elsewhere outside of the county. And like you said, that really is wrong. You know, it should stay, they should stay here.
Yeah. You know? And, you know, Suffolk County is not facing the fiscal problems it used to. Now, we should be smart, right? We shouldn't put ourselves back into a fiscal crisis, but I think the money's there. And when you look at things like, so the way I do my analysis is, if we're spending X amount of dollars in overtime, how many full-time employees does that overtime equal up to? And is that enough full-time employees to not need overtime unless there's an emergency? And if we can solve it that way and bring wages to where they need to be, where somebody is working, you know, a full work week, not necessarily having to do overtime and not necessarily having to do extra jobs outside at other places of employment, you're going to have the morale of the workforce increase. And the morale of the workforce increasing is going to increase the work product, right? You're going to get a better job done when people feel like they had a moment to breathe after their shift.
Absolutely.
When they spent some time with their kids, you know, saw sure. their wife for more than 5 minutes before, sure. you know, running back out the door. And
sure. Yeah,
I've got a sense in some of these departments, you know, where you know, folks are coming in and leaving shortly after. I mean, but, you know, inside of public works, are you aware of you know, folks leaving to go for better paying opportunities?
Sure. You know, I mean, once you get the job, you know, because, I mean, a lot of people, I mean, the mentality is, at first I take on this job because there's great benefits, and there's a pension.
Right.
You know, and there's a couple other things that go along with that. So if I could just hang on for a little bit, you know, and wait for that salary to maybe go a little bit higher, then I will. But some people can't hang on, you know.
Right.
They just can't, you know. And that's a struggle that I think across the board a lot of people are facing, you know, and are having to deal with.
Yeah, I would I tend to agree. And you know, now you've got somebody with some experience and they go somewhere else, right? And, you know, sure. maybe the raises aren't hitting how they need to. Cost of living changes, a living situation changes, whatever it may be. But now that experienced person leaves to go somewhere else. Well, they're taking all their experience and that value with them somewhere else, and you're getting somebody new that comes in.
It starts, you know, from scratch.
Like, yeah. So, I mean, how long does it take to take a day one operator and get them up to, let's say, a class two license, right?
Oh, yeah, a couple of years.
Yeah.
If you really work at it, a minimum of, you know, two to three years, you know, because you have to get your, you know, your education first through, you know, so many different classes, activated sludge, laboratory, and basic ops. And that's only given within a year period. And then you have to have time under your belt, too,
right.
in order to be able to take the actual NIWIA test. So it's time and it's money, and which thankfully the union has the tuition reimbursement. That's
right.
huge. You know, without that, a lot of guys might not be able to get their operator's license.
Yeah, and we do see that also, and we see that in other departments as well, where there's opportunities for advancement, that if the only way to advance is to go into your own pocket, you probably wouldn't. But knowing that the union has set something up so that you can take a test, you can pass a test, and you can get reimbursed for it, because you're adding value back to the community again. I think we see that as only fair.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, I mean, we've got to recruit good people. We've got to retain good people and, you know, get everybody trained and at their optimum level so that, you know, again, we talk about the taxpayers, the everyday person that's out there contributing just a little bit of what they have to keep everything running. They deserve the best of the best. And
absolutely.
They shouldn't be paying for overtime for people that are, you know, burnt out and holding on by their fingertips, for lack of a better term, when they could have full-time employees that are, you know, well-rested and who's, you know, in good mental shape and well-supported by their coworkers to get the job done. So, you know, we recently did a survey across the membership and we found that 60% of respondents said they would recommend working for Suffolk County, but only 28% said they felt valued as a county employee. So, you know, that tells a story, right? That tells
sure.
me that folks would recommend, you know, more than half the time they would recommend, hey, it's a good idea to work for Suffolk County, but they don't feel valued in the work that they do. And how do you feel value? You know, sometimes it's being heard at work. Sometimes it's, you know, little things like a cleaner working environment or whatever else. But 9 times out of 10, you feel valued because you have the right workload. You've got the right people working with you.
Sure.
And you make enough to keep the lights on, feed the kids, put gas in the car, all of that stuff. So it seems like a fairly consistent thing across Suffolk County government that folks may think working for the government is a good idea, but they don't feel valued in doing so.
Sure. No.
In your opinion, what do you think is like a main driver on that disconnect? That disconnect between yes, you should work for the government, and no, you will not feel valued working for the government.
Well, I mean, like you said, I mean, you have to feel valued from, you know, your coworkers, your supervisors, and you know other you know employees and co people around you, and then you have to feel value in exactly what you're doing. Does it have a purpose? Am I doing the right way? You know, am I questioning? Is this right or this wrong? You should always question that I'm doing it the right way. You know, there should be no question. And then you need to have backing behind you. The union needs to back you. You need to feel that love and that backing behind you.
Right.
Or else you're kind of going to feel like you're on an island somewhere and, you know, nowhere to go. And that's sometimes why people split. You know,
yeah.
That's why they don't stick around.
And have you had situations where you're aware that there's openings and it's hard to get those openings filled where, like, you know, okay, well, the county's ready to hire 5 more guys and then no one takes the job?
Sure. There's definitely places and operator trainees. We've seen a little bit come in as of lately, but sometimes it goes years where no new guys, you know, on maintenance side, operations side, and op support side with us. You see, you know, long periods of time where there's just no hiring going on, and we're still not fully staffed, you know, so you kind of question what's going on.
Yeah, so again, I'm going to reiterate, you know, working with this administration to get a comprehensive salary study, which is underway, you know, but I want to get your take. You know, how do you think county employees will feel knowing that there's actually a salary study that's looking at this stuff to ensure that they're actually being fairly compensated?
Like you said, it's a major tool that I think you can have to see where we stand. You know, I think it's very important. We need to see where we stand. If we're below, then how do we get ourselves up to, you know, just being, you know, where we should be?
Right.
You know, you're not asking, like you said, not asking for any more. We just want the proper salary so we can, like you said, keep your lights on.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, again, this study is based on a framework comparing, you know, neighboring municipalities like Westchester, Nassau, Rockland County, you know, towns within Suffolk County, and comparable public sector jobs in other areas, right? You know, it's not everything that Suffolk County does directly attributed back to a school, right? There's probably not a lot of wastewater treatment plant operators at the local elementary school, but there are in Nassau and Rockland and Westchester, and seeing what they're getting and ensuring that they're, you know, one of the things we found right away is they all have the same problems, right? Recruitment and retention problems also. So while we're looking to solve all problems while sharing data with them to bring everyone up, they're looking to bring their people up also. So it's going to end up being, you know, a multi-county effort to restore some faith in public work, right? In not just the work that public workers do, but the idea that somebody would want to find themselves in a public service, you know, a civil service job. You know, there was a point in time where, you know, it was understood, you know, folks would come out of school and if they didn't feel like going to college, they could jump into a trade and it was perfectly smart and it was good to do. And now it's become, you know, well, you got to go to college, you got to whatever, you know. But I'll tell you, a local 200 plumber, you know, within 2 or 3 years, they're making more than most college grads. And it isn't so much common knowledge. And government suffers from that problem right now also, where there are good jobs that support the community, that have, you know, value added to, you know, the public worker's life in being that, you know, altruistic person and that gaining that sense of identity. But it's got to also be something that you can survive on, right?
Absolutely.
So is there any other steps you think the county needs to take other than just making the salary competitive? Is there other things that the county needs to do to improve recruitment and retention? You know, like a faster hiring process, better career development, you know, working conditions, anything come to mind that would really help the county recruit and retain new employees?
Yes. I mean, I feel like when you do take a test, a civil service test, it takes a long time to get results back, you know, and you sit sometimes with, you know, 4 to 6 months of waiting.
Sure.
Oh, did I get it or not? I'm not saying that they're doing their job wrong or anything. I'm just saying there's a time in there and maybe that could, you know, be shortened to get more people, you know, on board of here we can start to, you know, do interview processes faster and get
and
stuff
hilariously
going.
The folks that grade the civil service test on the state level are understaffed and they don't have enough people to grade the test and get the results back.
Okay, I can see that.
And so, you know, again, this is why we talk about this as a universal problem. It was understood back in the day. I mean, you could, it didn't matter what the civil service job was. Back in the 70s, if you could get a civil service job, people would be lined up down the block. Thousands
Absolutely.
Of people would take the test for one job opening, you know.
Yeah.
Now, you know, again, we can release 100 job openings and fill zero.
Yeah, that's a shame.
And you know, again, that actually affects the folks that write and grade civil service tests on the state level. So, it's another jurisdiction entirely. It's a state job.
Yeah.
But still facing that same problem, and it's coast to coast. That's why I think it's so important that Suffolk County is embarking in this way and now drawing in these other counties to embark in this way to solve this problem and being a thought leader on restoring faith in government. So, I mean, I guess in closing, if you could send one message to the folks in Suffolk County leadership about what needs to change to fix the staffing crisis, what would it be?
Fix the staffing crisis. I think that you need to make sure that everyone's on board, first of all, and sticks together and keeps everybody on the same page. And then you can start to keep the staff that's there, and then also that will help you in the works of getting new staff out with you, you know, on board.
So cohesive leadership, I would say.
Leadership to, you know, to trickle down and, you know, give positive ways for both, you know, keeping the staff and hiring new staff.
Yeah, you know, and I would equate that to hope, right? You know, I mean, at the end of the day, if you've got top-level leadership that's giving hope, then that kind of trickles its way down. And it's a little different when top-level leadership is disjointed and maybe, you know, doesn't share the same vision as, you know, the what we'll call first line supervisory, right? And so people at the plant know what needs to be done and how it needs to be done, but people on the 12th floor of the Denison building have no idea. You know, that's not a good thing. That's one of the advantages now with this administration that we have now, is that they're out there, they're talking to people, they're listening, they're trying to find out what the problems are and get them solved. You know, to their credit, I've gotten phone calls from them about things that were going wrong before I got a chance to call them and tell them about the things that were going wrong. So I guess the inverse on this, again, as a closing thought, you know, and we talked about earlier how, you know, folks will, you know, more often than not, they'll recommend working for the county, but then say they don't feel valued at the county. And there's that kind of cognitive dissonance there. But what would you say to someone who's considering a career in government? What would you say? Like, why should they?
I think, you know, you get to give back to your community. You get to be a part of, you know, helping the environment or taking care of the stuff. I think that it's very important that they know that giving back, you get a lot more than just going to work every day and, you know, hitting the grind. But you can give some back, too, in joining the workforce.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that's well said. My guest this morning was Grant Dorney. He's a wastewater treatment plant operator in the DPW Sanitation Blue Division, and he is vice president of DPW Sanity Blue. Grant, I want to thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
And to our listeners, we'll speak to you next week.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,